Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
Americans are durable. We take pride in hard work and high quality. American Giant makes durable, quality clothing right here in the USA. Because what we wear reflects who we are. When you buy American Giant, you're not just wearing the best clothes money can buy. You're helping keep jobs and pride in your own backyard. Premium clothing built to last decades, like it should. Get 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code RIGHTHERE24.
Hey, everybody. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Welcome to Beekeeping for Newbies. This is going to be our weekly In the News segment. This will be In the News episode 23. Thank you so much for tuning in this week. So we're going to kind of jump right in today, and you know, we're going to talk about Hurricane Helene that came through a couple of weeks ago, really devastated the Southeast. And with that, one of the big concerns that has popped up is with people getting stung by, you know, stinging insects, whether it's yellow jackets, honeybees, hornets, whatever it might be. And, you know, if you think about it, the yellow jackets and some others live in the ground. So as a flood approaches that area, well, they're pretty much going to drown. Anything that's inside the ground, any of their brood, they're going to die pretty quick. But any of the, you know, flyers, foragers who were outside the hive, they're going to come back to their area and it's completely covered in water. You know, honeybees, of course, they're usually trying to get into some kind of a cavity, whether it's a tree or a shed or an awning, or, you know, maybe a, you've seen some fun videos online of people pulling them out of wash machines and dryers and suitcases and whatever things are kind of laying around, maybe a junkyard or somewhere maybe in an area that's maybe not disturbed very often. But anyway, this is going to create some concerns with a lot of displaced things that can sting. Now, I think about this and I'm thinking, well, if you had a bunch of bees that lived in a tree and you know, normally you think that that's a safe thing, right? You think, well, they're in the tree, they're in their safe space. These floods were absolutely insane. I heard a gal the other day talking, you know, telling her story, and she said that the area of the creek that she was standing next to, she said it was usually about a foot and a half deep. She said before the hurricane even hit, they had so much rain, it was already at 9 feet even before the storm came through. So, but that's just talking about the depth. I mean, the power, the sheer power was enough to lift up homes, take them downstream, tear them apart. I heard one woman say, yeah, that over there is where my house moved a little bit. The house behind mine right there, that came from like 2 miles upstream. So, I mean, it's just incredibly powerful. But if you have bees and they're in a tree, well, of course, some of these trees are getting uprooted, so the entire colony is basically going to die. But the potential exists for a lot of these, you know, stinging pollinators to be hanging out around anything nearby the area where they can, you know, land. And people are coming in to do cleanup and salvage and recovery. And, of course, the possibility exists that they're going to run into them. So that's kind of a, you know, concern. I think there's probably about 10 or 15 different articles I saw talking about this. So we'll just jump in and cover this one real quick. North Carolina gears up for bee stings in the wake of Hurricane Helene. The North Carolina Wildlife Federation says there are more than 500 native bee species. The state's climate makes it an ideal location for honey production and beekeeping. Asheville, North Carolina. In the wake of Hurricane Helene, North Carolina is preparing for an increase in bee stings, with thousands of EpiPens and other medications being distributed throughout the Tar Heel State. The states of Florida, Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina, and Tennessee were the hardest hit when Helene moved through the region more than a week ago, producing feet of rainfall and damaging winds. The Category 4 hurricane uprooted trees and reshaped the landscape, affecting not only humans, but also wildlife populations and insects. North Carolina is home to a significant bee population, which is why health departments are warning about the potential for encounters, especially during the recovery phase. The North Carolina Wildlife Federation says there are more than 500 bee species with large number used for honey production. Unfortunately, nests and beehives may have been disturbed during the hurricane, leading to insects becoming potentially more defensive. According to medical professionals, at least 2 million Americans are allergic to bee stings. In the most severe cases, a sting can trigger what is known as anaphylactic shock, requiring a dose of epinephrine and medical care. Direct Relief, a humanitarian aid organization, says it helped supply care centers in North Carolina with more than 2,000 EpiPen shots to help cope with the potential of bee stings. And while we're on that subject, if you want to check out the beekeeping tip of the day, tip number one, I think it was tip number one, don't die, I think is the title of it. But I actually show you how to use an EpiPen. I have a, you know, a demo EpiPen, and I kind of walk through that in the video, so it's worth checking that out on our YouTube page. Anyway, beekeepers warn that the insects are naturally more defensive during the fall as they protect their hives before hibernation during the winter. According to medical experts at the Cleveland Clinic, there are steps you can take to reduce the risk of getting stung by a bee. It is recommended to take measures such as removing food from the outdoors, wearing protective clothing, and using unscented or non-floral products to lessen the attraction of the bees. More than 200 people were killed across seven states, and dozens remain unaccounted for following the Helene disaster. So far, authorities have not connected any of the fatalities to stings, of which the country usually sees around 100 per year. According to emergency managers, drownings and falling trees make up the majority of the storm's fatalities. Okay, so our next article comes to us out of Newcastle University in England, and the title is Stressed Bees Are Pessimistic Pollinators. Much like humans, bumblebees are likely to adopt a glass-half-empty mentality when under duress. And if you check out the article, again, all the articles are always linked in the news section of the Beekeeping for Newbies homepage. But there's a cool picture of this. It's a very close-up picture of this very angry-looking bee, so it's worth checking out. The bees are having a rough go of it. Declining populations, parasitic wasps, and continued environmental degradation would be stressful situations for any species, and the planet's vital pollinators appear to respond to pressure much like many humans do. New research published on October 9th in the Proceedings of the Royal Society B from a team at Newcastle University suggests that just like us, bees are more likely to make pessimistic choices after being put through the ringer. To test what happens when bees are under duress, the team first trained three groups of the female worker bumblebees to identify and associate different colors with varying outcomes. A blue LED screen represented a location with a sweeter reward, while green indicated a less favorable water solution. Once the bees understood each color's reward amount, researchers then placed the groups in chambers with varying hues that fell in the spectrum between blue and green, then simulated a predatory attack for two groups, either by giving them a light shake or temporarily trapping them with a sponge-tipped robotic arm. Meanwhile, a third group faced no outside stress to act as a control. The influence of stress on a bumblebee was unambiguous. In their results, the team concluded that perturbed bees were significantly less likely to interpret ambiguous colors as representing better reward, and in turn more frequently flew to lower reward locations than their control group. Our study shows that bees are more pessimistic after stress, as their behavior suggests that they do not expect to get rewards, study co-author and animal behavior researcher Vivek Nityananda said in Newcastle University's accompanying statement on Wednesday. Olga Prochenko, the study's lead author, equated the situation to someone seeing the glass as half empty and expecting negative outcomes. Nityananda went on to explain that while emotions are complex states and for humans involved a subjective understanding of feeling, but while we might never know if bees feel something similar, Nityananda concluded that it's clear that the decision-making is influenced by stress towards making pessimistic choices. The study's results, according to Prochenko, suggest that states akin to emotion may be evolutionary conserved. Because of this, further research may improve human understanding of the cognition and behavior of bees and other insect species can be affected by stress, be it environmental or human-induced. That sentence did not read right at all, and I've read it like four times and it still doesn't sound right. But anyway, in doing so, better decisions can be made when it comes to implementing the best conservation solutions. So that's that. Stressed out bees are not good pollinators. Okay, this article is coming to us. I actually saw it quite a bit online as well, but it came to us out of one of our listeners posted in the Discord room. Anchorage hobbyist beekeeper working to find better ways to keep bees warm in winter. Out of Anchorage, Alaska. With the winter weather quickly approaching, Anchorage hobbyist beekeeper Tim Huffman has been developing an insulation system for his polystyrene beehive for the past few years in an attempt to keep his bees alive through the winter months. Bees create their own heat, Huffman explained. They vibrate their flight muscles, which creates friction, which creates heat, and they'll keep the inside of the hive 70 degrees all winter long. My job is to give them that kind of setup that preserves the heat. That involves extra insulation. The insulation setup includes taping all the seams of the containers holding the bees and using materials with insulating properties like polystyrene to help capture all the heat the bees are generating and keep it inside the hive. We taped all the seams. Those are the thinnest points, so that'll help preserve heat that way. And we added a candy board, which is emergency food for winter in case they run out of honey, that I'll put sugar in later, and then we add extra insulation above the candy boards, Huffman said. This past winter, he said that the system was a success after his colonies survived, which allowed Huffman to practice more sustainable beekeeping. Huffman said bees do not typically survive the cold weather during the winter months. It is a myth that it's hard to get them through. It's actually formulaic, he said. If you use the right methods in the right gear, you're going to get your bees through the winter. Huffman has been documenting his progress and his beekeeping journey in Alaska on his YouTube channel. He hopes between that and offering free beekeeping courses to the public, this can help encourage people to harvest bees more sustainably. His next classes will start up again in the early winter. Huffman is also in the process of organizing a sustainable beekeeping conference on February 8th at 49th State Brewing. It's disrespectful to these amazing insects to keep them for the summer and kill them in the fall after you've got your honey, Huffman said. If we have something that can perpetuate itself like these colonies of bees, then why kill them and start over again every year? So that's it for the article, but it is important to know. A lot of people don't even know this, but I have heard this. I haven't actually personally observed it because I don't live there, but I've heard that people in some northern climates will do that. They'll start a package, you know, of bees in the spring, and they will just run them as much as they can, you know, spring and summer, harvest all the honey, and let them die. That's it. I guess that's one way you can do things, but certainly would rather see them be able to overwinter. So it's kind of interesting because you think about, let's just say that you're down here in the U.S. in the lower 48, put yourself anywhere in the middle of the country, right? Missouri, Indiana, whatever. You have like a normal day, you know, sun comes up at like 7 a.m., goes down around 8:30, 9 o'clock p.m., something like that. So you're getting 12, 14 hours of daylight every day. Go to Alaska where you're getting like 19, 20, 21 hours of daylight. So the bees are just going constantly. So I feel like you have the opportunity to get a massive honey crop from that. But, you know, I guess the people look at the math and they figure that based on how much it costs to start a new colony in the spring, it's probably significantly cheaper to just take all the honey for themselves and start over again next year. So I guess there's the balance between, you know, being a hobbyist and doing what you think is right for the bees and the environment and all that, and then looking at it from a business and being like, look, it's a business decision. It's cheaper for us to just, you know, harvest all the honey and start over next year. I don't know. It's interesting, though. All right, so we got a little bit of a sad story. This we originally reported this back on the 25th of September in episode 21. It's linked on the first link for episode 21 on the Beekeeping for Newbies homepage under In the News, but it's the story of the North Richland, Texas man. So North Richland Hills man attacked by bees died from his injuries. A North Richland Hills man who has been in the ICU since he was attacked by bees on September 24th has died, according to his partner. Lonnie Dorsey, 72, was attacked as he mowed the lawn in the 8,000 block of Cross Drive. His partner, Patricia Burns, 74, found Dorsey lying on the ground covered in bees. Dorsey was allergic to bees, and Burns tried to save him and got stung, too. A neighbor called 911, and Dorsey was rushed to the hospital in critical condition and remained in the ICU until his death on Sunday. So, yeah, sad story. I mean, God, you know, it's so weird. I look today, there was another story today about somebody being stung and chased around by bees. It seems like if you're in Texas nowadays, man, there's just the bees are going a little nutty down there. So definitely, like I've said before, keep your eyes open for Africanized bees and just I don't want to go on this rant again, but you know, I've said it before, like treat all bees as if they're angry, mean, and unhappy until you know them, until you've experienced, you know, had a little bit of time with them, because I think it's all really cool when we're at home in our little comfort zone and our little small apiaries, and we got no gear on, and our bees are like high-fiving us and, you know, talking about what happened over the weekend and how great everything is. And then you go somewhere that you don't know the bees, they don't know you, and they're, you know, you just don't know. You don't know what you're going up against when you go and do some of these removals and other things. And in his case, we're just cutting the grass, right? So you definitely got to pay attention. So sad story, anyway. Well, let's try to end on a positive note here today. And this is a story coming to us out of North Dakota, how to help bees, especially in North Dakota. Using a traveling bee circus, among other tools, a UND, this is University of North Dakota, research team helps North Dakota's pollinators spread the good news. With the statewide production of more than 30 million pounds of honey in 2022, North Dakota's honeybees and other pollinators have put the state in first place in the nation for honey production. And at UND, the members of one research team have made it their mission to study these vital pollinators and what environments can help them to thrive. The people behind the research. Overseen by Heiochi Zeng, Associate Professor of Earth Systems Science and Policy, a group of five researchers have focused their studies in the pollinators of North Dakota. The group consists of master's student Susan Ayanye, I hope I'm not messing up the name there, and Brandon Narum, doctoral students, Y-E-Q-I-N, last name is Zhu, X-U, and Osei Alu, and C.K. Pei, a postdoctoral research associate. Sorry for tearing apart and botching your names, everybody. The project looks at three different elements: the bees, the land they pollinate and forage on, and the people who make decisions regarding those things. Each team member focused his or her research on a particular aspect of the roles of pollinators. So this is actually a pretty long article. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I wanted to put it out there for everybody because it has a lot of detail behind it. And I didn't even know that. I mean, I knew North Dakota was a big beekeeping state and they had a lot of honey production. I had no idea that they were now number one. So special congrats to the folks up there in North Dakota. But that is all that I've got for everybody in this week's In the News segment. I probably am going to do maybe one more. I think I'll get next week's in and things are going to get a little bit nutty. It's been pretty crazy. This is just that time of year where everything's got to get winterized, put away, cleaned up. There's just a lot going on. So it's really hard to keep up with things. I'm like two or three episodes behind here on the podcast. I'm like three or four videos behind on the YouTube side of things, but I will do my best to get caught up before I bring my daughter back from the great state of Wyoming. All right, everybody. So that's all I've got for you. Take care, be kind to one another, and remember that I love you. There's nothing you can do about it. We'll talk to you soon.
Ryan Seacrest here. When you have a busy schedule, it's important to maximize your downtime. One of the best ways to do that is by going to ChumbaCasino.com. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino games like spin slots, bingo, and solitaire that you can play for free for a chance to redeem some serious prizes. So hop on to ChumbaCasino.com now and live the Chumba life. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.